If you have your Bibles, turn to John 16, 33. Some of my chapters are John 16, 17. I read them many times. Some good verses there. John 16, 33. How many of you know there's a lot going on in this world? We need each other. We need church. We need other believers in our life more than ever. I'm going to read this, John 16, 33 in the Amplified. It says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials, and distress and frustration. How true. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted. Everybody say undaunted.
Undaunted.
That's a great word. For I have overcome the world. That means he's overcome tribulation. I have deprived it of its of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Praise God. We could just go home right there. This word tribulation is an interesting word if you do a little study on it. It means pressure. Anybody here experience any pressure lately? Oppression, stress. Anybody feeling any stress? It means a crushing, squeezing distress. It's the word that's used in Greek language, used when crushing grapes or olives. So there's a lot of opportunity for tribulation today, a lot of opportunity for tribulation for you. Bad experiences, bad circumstances, bad news. Rough financial situation, physical situations, relationships. I mean, we could just camp right there. Persecution. I mean, whether you realize that or not, living for God's not easy in this day, in this hour. Persecution because of living for Jesus and living for God and trying to do what's right and trying to live according to the Word. But I got a question for you, and this is paramount for you, how you answer this question. Is God causing the tribulation? Is he the author of this tribulation? If he is, why would he say there in John 16 that he's overcome it and conquered it? It doesn't make any sense that he's bringing tribulation so he can come along and conquer it later. I mean, that's a little schizophrenic there. I mean, God needs to go to a psychiatrist. His mind is divided. I mean, that makes no sense, right? And so he's not the author of the tribulation. Now, the Romans, and I've read a lot about Roman history, the Romans had a lot of cruel punishments for people. You would not want to make mistakes in the Roman government, in the Roman Empire. One of the punishments they had was a person was tied up and laid on their back. Tied up so they can't move and laid on their back. Then a huge boulder was slowly lowered upon them until they were crushed to death. And they would use this word, tribulation, for that crushing. And so it's not just taking you out. It's slowly taking you out to maximize pain. And so if God's not the author of the tribulation, then who's the enemy? It's the devil. It's Satan. He's the author. He's the the God, the little g of this world system. And he is the one that is bringing tribulation. And he wants to crush people, all people, but especially the believers. And so it is good news that whatever is trying to crush you, Jesus has overcome it. We need to know that today. Jesus has deprived us of its power to harm you, and he's already conquered it for you. And any tribulation and pressure you're under right now, he's got a way out. He's got a way of escape. He's got a plan. He's got victory for you. Now, what's the purpose of the tribulation? What's the purpose of the pressure? What's the purpose of the crushing? That's a good question, right? Well, let's find the answer over in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And I'm telling you, these are good verses to be reading right now. I can't just refer to it. I've got to read it today. Because you need to keep this in your thinking as you go about your day. Because it's so easy to look other places for the purpose of the tribulation. And if you don't look to the right place, you're not going to respond correctly to the pressure. You're not going to handle it correctly. So Mark 4, verse 13. And he said to them, who's he?
Jesus.
Who's he?
Jesus.
Who is he?
Jesus.
Who is he?
Jesus.
Okay, good. Just like to hear that name. All right. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the finances. Satan comes immediately and takes away your health. Satan comes immediately to take your joy, take your peace. Is that what it says? What does it say? Is that what it says in your Bible? He comes immediately to take away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves. You know, that's what we're doing here at Good News Church, establishing roots. Helping you with roots system. They hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure for only a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake. It's about the word. It's about God's word. And you got to remember that. It's so easy to focus on other things. For the word's sake. And then when it happens, immediately they stumble. So he's trying to steal the word, cause you to be offended, cause you to be off-ended, cause you to stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So what this tribulation is trying to do is to steal the word, but to cause you to draw back, to cause you to give up, to cause you to be half-hearted, to cause you to go through the motions, to cause you just to get by, cause you to lose your edge, cause you to lose your fire. And some people, I mean, they just, when the pressure gets, I mean, they just draw back completely. And we were talking to the boys, and they had met some folks that had been in a church that's been persecuted where, I mean, people lost their lives because of Jesus. I mean, that's pretty serious. But there was people in that, and they do things in villages, and so this is a Christian village, this is a Muslim village, this is a Hindu village. And so there in this Christian village that's being persecuted and lives are being taken, many of the people renounced their faith. They renounced Jesus because the pressure, the tribulation was so great, they just backed up completely. So today, I just want you to realize with all that's happening in our nation, in the world, in your neighborhood, in your family, remember what it's about and remember what the enemy's trying to do. So that means it's not time for less word. It's time for more word. It's not time for less prayer. It's time for more prayer. It's not time to back away from church. It's time to go to church. It's not a time to be silent. It's a time to praise Him like never before. Because He is the world overcomer. He is more. He has made us more than a conqueror. He's already defeated the devil 2,000 years ago. Victory is right around the corner. But you've got to have victory in your hearts first before you see it out here. He's trying to steal your victory, and we're not going to let Him do it. It ain't happening here at Good News Church. So grumble and complain all you want about the tribulation. Have your pity party. But today is a new day. You heard it already. The turnaround is happening right now. I choose turnaround. I choose breakthrough. I choose better days. I choose life. In a world that's preaching death, I choose life. I choose God. I choose His Word. He's trying to take away your power, your confidence, your strength. So you can't deal with tribulation with just natural means. Eating. Who's tried that? Don't look at your neighbor. Don't make eye contact with anybody. As I'm going through this list, I mean, just look up there. Eating. Drinking. Oh, yeah, Budweiser. They've got the answers. You know, this Bud's for you. And the more Bud you have, the less tribulations. Right? Until you wake up the next day with a hangover. This Bud is not for you. This Bud is a dud. Drugs. And there's illegal and legal. And that's not your answer. That's not going to help you through the tribulation that you're experiencing. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation. And when we're not preaching the gospel where there's no, you know, everything's just perfect. That's not the gospel. I mean, my Bible says in John 10:10, there's a thief that comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's working overtime. Things happen. And if it doesn't happen to you, or to your wife, or to your kids, it'll happen to your dog, or to your neighbor, or to your friends, or to your schoolmate. He's mean. And we're in this amazing time in the church, and how much more would He try to get us to back down right now? So you got drugs, you got sex, Do I need to stop there for a minute? Pretty quiet in here today. Entertainment. Getting away. Anybody here ever been on vacation and you came back more stressed than you were before you left? You know who you are. See, you can't put your confidence in natural things. When are we going to learn what the Bible says? It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Let's look over in John 14. John 14. Hey, let me have my props there, Rick. You got to determine what are you going to be, a bottle of Dasani or a Perrier? Or really, are you going to be plastic or glass? Because you're going to be experiencing tribulation. If you're not, and I'm not going to say, tomorrow, but if you're not experiencing tribulation today, pressure is going to come, and that crushing is going to come. And what are you going to be? Are you going to be there we go. Joy is the flag flown high in the castle of my heart. Or are you going to be this? Well, hey, you're going to blow this whole illustration right there. No. You're so smooth there, James. Did you find John 14? These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you, my peace. I mean, this is the man that walked through the crowd of people trying to throw him off the cliff. This is the man that was asleep on the boat in the hurricane force winds. This is the man that was able to, humble himself and go to the cross when he could have done gone another way. That's the peace we're talking about here. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, because they think the spa treatment, or they think the drugs, or they think whatever, they think that's the answer. That's the world's way of bringing peace. Not as the world gives, because that peace is temporary. God's peace is permanent. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I mean, that is a good word right there. You ought to put that up in your mirror and look at it every day. Let not your heart be troubled. Turn to your neighbor and say, let not your heart be troubled. Turn to your other neighbor and say, do not be afraid. I'm circling the platform right, the podium right now. I got an attitude today. I could break this bottle if I wanted to. With one hand. This peace that he's talking about, it means a state of rest. Everybody take a deep breath. State of rest. Quietness. Put you to sleep right now. Quietness. Calmness. This word means absence of strife, tranquility, order in the place of chaos, absence of confusion, its clarity, its peace in your present position. You know, peace is our present position. Peace is our present possession. I'm not trying to get peace. I have peace. I'm trying to tap into the peace that Jesus gave to me. Peace is available 24/7. It's there. But the question is, am I going to go to God or am I going to go to natural means to find that peace that he's given me? I'm going to do something. You can lean to the flesh or you can lean on God. Peace is not just the absence of trouble. Peace is the enjoyment of the blessing. And it's expecting good things to happen. I mean, the enemy can get you in a place where you begin to expect bad things. And that's where he wants you, because we're faith people. And we use and we speak what we believe. And so he's trying to get you to change your words so you accept his cursing. But when you're at peace, you've got a confidence. You've got a rest. You have an expectation that blessing is coming, and you've got to see blessing in here first. That's what faith is. Faith is perceiving those things, you know, things as real, even though you don't see it out here. It's real on the inside. And that's going to take the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word. If you're under tribulation today, don't put your Bible down. Pick up your Bible. This is not a time to put your Bible down. And I don't care how hard it is today, this is not a time to draw back. Peace is an inner calmness unaffected by outward circumstances or pressures. He's trying to squeeze you. And when he squeezes you, you say and do things you don't mean. He's trying just to pressure you to make decisions that are out of the will of God. And how many times in my life over these years, I mean, especially before I knew Jesus, I mean, continually making the wrong decisions. But even while I'm a believer, that pressure from the devil trying to get me down to maybe one option, where God has many options. He's got a way. But the devil wants you to choose his option because he's got a trap for you. So if you're being squeezed, and just looking over the word peace, it's used, you know, 100 times or more in the New Testament. But primarily, peace was used in relationship to our relationship to God and our relationship to others. So I want you to know that peace is first and foremost there in our relationships. He wants peace. God, that's God's will. So if you're feeling squeezed today, anybody feeling any kind of pressure today, raise your hand. Feeling any crushing? Feeling any stress? Going through any tribulation, any trials today? Any situations? Well, you're going to have to know about the tribulation cure. You know what the tribulation cure is? You know what the tribulation cure is? You want to know? You really want to know? Okay, good. Tribulation cure is found in Philippians 4, verse 6. And if you're experiencing any of the cure while I'm reading these verses or in the next few moments, go ahead and shout if you want to. Go ahead and stand up and jump up and down. Go ahead and raise your hand. Go ahead and smile. Go ahead and laugh. And if you break out in song, I'll sing with you. Even if you're not in tune. Philippians 4, verse 6, amplified. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Do I have any believers in the house today?
Amen.
Do we have any believers here? Do we have any believers of God's word here today? Do we have any followers of Jesus? Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Now here's the tribulation cure. But in every circumstance and everything, by prayer and petition, definite request with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace. And God's peace shall be yours. Woo! Man, you gotta love the Bible. You don't know what you're missing out on. Playing all these video games, watching all these movies, doing everything to try to escape. Well, why don't you try to escape to the Word? Why don't you try the tribulation cure this week? Everything by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God, and God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing. Oh my goodness. I feel like I'm just kind of pacing around here. Fearing nothing. Woo! Fearing nothing. Fearing nothing from God and being content with his earthly lot, whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So you don't run from Jesus, you run to Jesus. You don't draw away from God, you draw nearer to him. Hebrews talks about going boldly to the throne. That's where you belong, in the throne room. You're already seated with him in heavenly places. You're already blessed with all spiritual blessings. So go boldly to the throne. No retreating here, just boldness. We're not going backwards, we're going forward. I mean, that peace is just garrisoned around me. It's just a shield. It's just on me. Amen. And circumstances can't take that peace. Pressure can't take that peace. I carry that peace wherever I go. That peace is on me. I bring order. I bring stability. I bring strength. I bring God on the scene. Wherever I go, Jesus goes. I am Jesus. I'm not saying I am Jesus. I am Jesus to the world. He's our example. He's the one that slept on the boat. How are you sleeping? Well, I'm taking all the pills. I'm taking a double dosage of the pills. It's just not working. There's the pill cure, the TV cure, the drug cure. But God's way is the way to go. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. See, what you're thinking about every day is going to determine whether you're in peace or not. You're going to think about what the devil, his fiery darts, and think about his seeds and what he's trying to bring, or are you going to think God thoughts? Are you going to think about the Word? God has got a way out of every situation. He's got a way out of every tribulation. He's got a way out of every trial. He's got a way out of every circumstance. But if you're all stressed, see, there's a correlation between wisdom and peace. It's easier, I'm not saying it only happened, but it's easier to receive wisdom when you're in a state of rest, in a state of peace. If you're all stressed out, you know, the Bible calls it being double-minded, you know, praising God in one moment and blaming him on the other. That's not a place conducive of receiving wisdom. Wisdom comes to you in a state of being at peace. God's seated on the throne. He's already won the victory. We're enforcing that victory. But if you've given up, what can God do? If you're blaming God, what can he do? If your words aren't lining up to the word of God and your words are just spouting doubt and unbelief, what can he do? He's a faith God. How much is this worrying and this griping and this complaining and this gossip, how much has it brought peace? We shouldn't be bringing division to people. We should be bringing peace. We should have peace in our marriages. We should have peace in our homes. We should have peace if we're leading, you know, believers are leading. And even if not, we should have peace in our businesses because you're there. Joseph brought peace to that entire nation by his presence. We're not the one bringing division. Division's of the devil. Agreement and one accord is from God. So I don't know who this is for. Stop using your mouth against people. Stop bringing division with your words. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Why all this pressure on marriages? Have you thought about that? Why all this pressure on marriages? Because the enemy knows that when two people come together in agreement and, you know, whatever they touch is going to happen, that couple is one of the most powerful unions on the face of the earth. How closer can you get than being married? So, you know, that's why he's going to fight it. Now, marriage counseling is not the answer. Marriage counseling in itself is not the answer. God is the answer. But in your state of peace, in the midst of chaos, you may hear from God. I'm not talking to you guys. I'm just standing over here, okay? If the shoe fits, I heard that. Okay. I've got no word for you guys. I'm not saying anything. I'm just standing here. But if you're in your state of peace and the Lord speaks to you, he may say to you to go to marriage counseling. You may be having financial chaos. He may say to you, do Dave Ramsey's course. He may say for you to go to a credit management thing. He may, although that's not the answer. His plan is the answer. He's the one that's going to empower you and help you, but he uses these other things to help. That was worth something there. Practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Model your way of living on it, and the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. I don't care whether I have the peace of God or the God of peace. It's the same thing. But that's what he wants for me. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to say thus says the Lord, but I'm going to tell you, it's not going to get any easier. It is not going to get any easier. So if you have some kind of notion that, you know, our government's going to save us, or the Supreme Court's going to save us, or some other thing. I mean, and again, do all the things the Lord tells you to do. But if you're looking to your government as being your, I mean, wake up, man. We want favorable laws, and we need to be praying for them. But they're not our savior. And this next presidential election, whether your person gets in there or not, they're not the answer. Some of the people that I thought were going to be the big heroes ended up being the most disappointment for me. I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer. I'm telling you, the Word is the answer. So before all else, run to Jesus. Be close to him. Talk to him. Read his words. Offer up prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. You do these things, change your habits, change your mind, change your actions. Did you get that? Change your habits. Let's put a little more praise and a little more worship and a little more word and a little more fellowship. And a little more meditation on the Word. And a little less of the other things that aren't helping any at all. And they're not helping at all. In fact, probably a lot of them are making it worse. It's a trap of the enemy. Change your habits, change your mind, change your action. Wisdom flows more freely in a place of peace than a place of chaos. Peace will silence the noise. You ever been there? You just hear a lot of noise. You know what I'm talking about? Just a lot of noise. A lot of stuff swirling around your brain. That's what the devil is. Just bring a lot of noise. A lot of confusion. Peace doesn't necessarily mean you're doing nothing about the pressure. He'll give you the plan which will bring the manifestation of the victory that you already have. Did you catch that? He will give you the plan that will bring the manifestation of the victory that you already have. It's all about perspective. How are you going to see things in this world? I recommend to look at it through the lens of God's Word. Look at it through Jesus. But it's all in your perspective. I remember I remember on 9/11 when we used that as an opportunity for greater outreach. We had a track made up that was called Freedom from Fear. And we went to the streets. We went to, you know, went out there. And I'm telling you, we went to people's homes and knocked on their door. And they had the TV, Fox News, CNN running 24/7. And they came to the door and they were shaking. You remember?
Yeah.
They were scared. They didn't know what was going to happen next. And along came us with our freedom from fear. And we brought the gospel. And we prayed with people. And we saw people right in front of our eyes change from fear and doubt and unbelief into faith and into confidence. We saw it. We brought peace. Read the story of Paul in Acts chapter 27. He's on his way to Rome to face trial. And you know, he's on a prisoner ship. And during that trip, a huge storm hits. And it gets so bad, the Bible says the crew just gave up. They didn't even fight the storm. They didn't do any of their things they know to do. They just wrote it out. Paul, in the midst of that, stands up and says to them, an angel of the Lord was standing by me last night. And he told me, he said, do not be afraid. You're not going to perish. And he begins to encourage this ship of 200 and something people. And his words brought peace. And then they ate. They hadn't eaten for 14 days. This peace can just so fill us up, we can bring words of peace. You can go to a country like India, as crazy it is there in the middle of persecution, and be at peace and be safer there than safer here. Well, what's the best thing for me to do for my marriage? What's the best thing to do for my loved ones? What's the best thing to do for my business? What's the best thing for people in my life? The best thing for you to do right now is to be in the will of God. The best thing for you to be in, you know, go after is His peace. His peace on you will change things in your world. Victory is yours. You have the victory. You have the victory. Victory is yours. Victory is yours. Victory is yours. Bobby, victory is yours. Victory, this whole row right here, victorious ones. Whole bunch of victory over here. The victor is in us. He's already defeated the devil 2,000 years ago. Woo! I have a peace. I'm not trying to get it. I have peace. Peace is mine. I'm in Jesus. I'm in Him, and I'm in this place of peace. You want to know what? I'm hearing from God. I'm getting wisdom. I'm getting wisdom about the next step. He's showing me what's next. He's showing me things to come.
In the right direction. Amen.
Let's stand, everybody.